Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host, and we are delighted to have you with us. Why We're Catholic, Our Reasons for Faith, Hope, and Love is now the number one bestseller in the Christian Ecumenism section on Amazon.com. And its author, Trent Horn, is here with us today. If you'd like to discuss Why We're Catholic with Trent Horn, give us a call, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Trent is a convert to the Catholic faith and a staff apologist here at Catholic Answers. He has a master's degree in theology from Franciscan University of Steubenville and is currently doing graduate studies in philosophy at Holy Apostles College. He's the author of four books, Answering Atheism, Persuasive Pro-Life, Hard Sayings, A Catholic Approach to Answering Bible Difficulties, and the aforementioned Why We're Catholic, Our Reasons for Faith, Hope, and Love. Hi, Trent Horn.
Hello, Mr. Kellett.
It's a little weird. We're in the studio together today.
I know. I'm out making my regular quarterly visit to Catholic Answers, and since I'm here, why not grace the studio with my presence again? Always nice to be here with everyone in the sound booth, seeing everyone around,
yeah,
and checking out our new camera equipment. We have to address everyone online.
So. Oh, yeah, you haven't seen all this. Yeah, well,
They look like, for those of you who obviously can't see the cameras at home, it's like seeing a bunch of little BB-8 droids from Star Wars staring back at you.
Nice.
We just have to deck them out to look like little, like, volleyballs.
We should put BB-8 costumes on them.
Yeah. Around.
Yeah. You, when you say grace the studio, you've been gracing the heck out of this studio because you've been recording for a couple of days.
Yeah, I've been recording some of my talks and presentations. So over the years, I've given different talks on marriage and whether it's the union of a man and a woman, pro-life, why be Catholic, Jesus, is he Lord or legend? And I've recorded several of those when I've been out and about, and I'm hoping to release them soon as single sleeve CDs or MP3s because people say, hey, I'd love to hear your talk. I say, oh, I don't really have it in an audio format. So
right.
I recorded two of the talks that I haven't recorded out in the field, one talk, Persuasive Pro-Life, and the other, Jesus, Lord or Legend, so people can hear the talks, listen to them in their car, and give them to friends who might have an interest in those topics.
Ah, very good, very good. So that, yeah, it's good to finally get it digitized, huh? To get it recorded so that you have it and you can, instead of it just you won't have to be in person to hear it.
You're right, I don't have to just recite it to people when they want to hear it.
Well, I know Kay over at Immaculate Heart Radio is actually your biggest fan. I don't know if you probably never met Kay, but she's going to be thrilled that these are out on DVD, CD. Right?
CD, yeah.
I said this thing earlier, but did you know that your book is the number one bestseller in the Christian Ecumenism section of Amazon.com?
I did.
Oh, you did know that?
I did.
Oh,
and that's,
I thought I was springing some news on you.
No, it's been really good to hear and see that. So hopefully the book will achieve the goal of Christian Ecumenism and we'll only have the Catholic Church in 5 years. So let's see how it goes, right?
Right. Yeah. All we did a Catholic Answers Focus with Hank Hanegraaff, the Bible Answer guy, the other day.
And I think it's Bible Answer Man.
Oh, the Bible Answer Man. Oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah, you're right.
Bible Answer Man.
Yeah, Bible Answer Guy doesn't sound good at all. But Hank had a wonderful discussion about him coming to the Eucharist. And I had a strong sense there. And as Catholics, ecumenism for us is not about like winning an argument or something. It's about the Eucharist. It's about everyone should be, every Christian should have that intimacy with Christ to receive the Eucharist.
Yeah. If you think about Eucharist, which we also call communion,
yeah,
the idea from that being that all of us who are a member of the one body of Christ, the idea that Christ's one body should have perfect union with him and with one another. So that perfect union includes not just belief in something ethereal like I believe in Jesus, but I believe that Jesus has given himself to us under the form of bread and wine to spiritually nourish us. He's given us a church to teach us.
Yeah.
And so through the Eucharist is that ultimate sign of communion with one another. And so we recognize, of course, that other churches like the Eastern Orthodox or other ecclesial groups, other ecclesial formations such as the such as the religions that sprang from the Protestant Reformation, are united to the Catholic Church, are part of the body of Christ, but they're united to the Church in an imperfect way.
Yeah.
And so what we desire is that perfect union, just as Jesus says in John 17, like, Father, just as you and I are one before the creation of the world, I pray that they will be one in the same way.
Amen to that.
That's a paraphrase, but you get the idea.
Yeah, it was pretty good
paraphrase. That was a dynamic translation, John 17.
A Trent Horn dynamic translation. I want to read you a review of your book from Amazon. Mac 614 says, a perfect book for Catholics and non-Catholics. Trent Horn goes into detail and gives an explanation for what Catholics believe and why they believe it. I'm starting RCIA in August, and this was a big help for me. What do you think about that review?
Well, first, I think my mom's definitely got to get a new Amazon user. So far, it's the only people I can get to. No, just kidding. I don't think that is not a relative that I am aware of. So, Mr. Mack, thank you so much for the review, whoever you may be, because I do not know. But I think, though, this book, I wrote it for anybody, really, for whether you're Catholic or non-Catholic, but especially people who aren't Catholic. Because people always come up to me and say, what's a good book I can give to someone who's thinking about Catholicism or has questions? But a lot of those books, you can tell in the tone and the language, they're for Catholics.
Right.
It's like, you know, all of us are in this awesome club and it's cool to read about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that can sound weird or grating to someone who's not Catholic,
right,
who's reading this. So I wrote the book so that a Catholic can get a lot out of it. But if a Protestant or an atheist reads it, they can feel like I'm talking to them and I'm trying to explain why our faith is reasonable. And that's why, ideally, I want this book to be something to be given away. That's why you can buy it in cases of 20 for $60. It's $3 a book. And I know individuals who buy cases of this book. One guy, he leaves it in the back of taxis and Ubers for people to pick up.
Right.
And I think it can work that way. I know people who just picked it up and they just like start flipping through it.
Right. Well, because I know there are people who are ranging from just idle curiosity all the way to, I've always wanted to know what the Catholics believe. And if it's presented in a way that's digestible and, or as Max says, an explanation of what, well, how do you do it? I missed it. Oh, you go into detail and give explanation. Well, that's not the one. There was another review that said about how they were succinct and readable, each one.
Yeah.
And I love a book like that.
Well, they're short. The chapters are only about 5 or 6 pages.
Yeah, yeah.
And my goal is, yeah, for people who don't have a lot of time, they can get little bits and pieces of the truth over time. And I think that reviewer from Amazon mentioned it'd be great for RCIA. I myself went through RCIA about 15 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And so I remember it, and I think I'm not aware of a widespread RCIA curriculum or program, especially one based on a book like that. This would be great to give someone in August or September, coming up soon,
right,
a lot of RCIA curricula for people who are planning to enter into the church at Easter Vigil will begin in August and September, a lot of the beginning rites. And so right, this is a great book to give to an RCIA group and say, hey, read a chapter a week and discuss it along with what you're teaching and learning. And I think I wish I'd had something like this while I was preparing to come into the church.
Right, right, exactly. And I think sometimes when we're Catholic, like us cradle Catholics, we can easily think, or we can speak about the Catholic faith in a way that's using language that the other person doesn't know that language.
Yeah.
And we don't even realize that we're using it. We don't really, like even I said the Eucharist and you said, you explained, well, the communion, you know, that's what, because that's a more familiar term.
Yeah, and
for
I
people.
Tried hard in the book, another challenge, since I'm writing it for any person who might pick it up, to avoid terms that may be misunderstood or yeah, not understood right off the bat, and explaining them when they do come into the text.
Right.
So that makes it accessible for non-religious people and really any education level. I feel like you could give this book to an eighth grader or above, and they'll get a lot out of it. I know people who've given it to high school students, and they can't put it down.
Right. Why We're Catholic, Our Reasons for Faith, Hope, and Love is the book. Trent Horn is the author. And this hour, Why We're Catholic is our topic here on Catholic Answers Live, 888-318-7884. The number. We'll take a quick break and we'll be right back with your calls for Trent Horn on Catholic Answers Live.
Don't you just love listening to Trent Horn? Did you know you can book Trent or any of our other great speakers to speak at your parish or special event? Contact one of our seminar coordinators through the Speakers Bureau section on Catholic.com today to find out more information.
Hey everyone, Carlo Broussard here, and I want to let you know about a very special event that you're going to want to save the date for. This September 28th to 30th, we'll be hosting our fourth annual National Apologetics Conference here in beautiful San Diego, and this is one conference you don't want to miss. The theme is the reunion of all Christians, and we've got an all-star lineup of speakers guaranteed to fire you up. Catholic historian Steve Weidenkopf, apologist Mark Brumley, apologist Devin Rose, plus all of your favorite Catholic Answers apologists. For almost four decades, Catholic Answers has been engaging our separated brethren in charity to bring them to the fullness of the truth. Join us this September for a lively and inspiring conference designed to help you play an active part in the reunion of all Christians. We've got lower prices than ever before and a beautiful venue in San Diego, California. You don't want to miss it. Seats are still available, but they're going fast. Call 1-888-291-8000 today to register or visit CatholicAnswersConference.com.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their Catholic values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Pope Francis said, "All of us are called to mature in our work as evangelizers. We want to have better training, a deepening love, and a clear witness to the gospel." St. Paul Street Evangelization's online school of evangelization will equip you with the tools you need to be an effective evangelist. We'll ask for a pledge of financial support, but if you're unable to give, we'll set you up for free. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Trent Horn is in the studio with us today here at Catholic Answers Live, and we're discussing why we're Catholic. Actually, that could possibly cover everything that we try to do here at Catholic Answers. In one way or another, we're trying to answer that question, why we're Catholic. Are you ready for some calls, Trent?
I am.
Garen in San Jose, California, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio. Your question for Trent Horn.
Hi. I had this atheist friend. And whenever we start talking about God and I bring up how, like, there's evidence that he exists in all the miracles that occur, throughout the world and in various times. And then his response to that is, well, how do we know that's not some, like, fourth dimensional being manipulating our three dimensional universe? And I was just wondering, I didn't have an answer for him, so I was wondering if he could help out.
Yeah, sure. First, I might ask him, what does he mean by a fourth dimensional being? Because people may have different understandings of what that is. We understand three dimensions to be height, width, and depth. So, you know, we can grasp objects in three dimensions. And the idea of a fourth dimension may mean different things to different people. My understanding of a fourth dimension would be adding time. So that you might have a three-dimensional object, but time, understanding its existence, how it comes in, out of existence, how it changes. And so the fourth dimension would include that. So a being that existed in all of time would understand reality different than we would. And that's hard to understand what that would be like, Cy, for there to be created entities who are four-dimensional in that sense. The closest example, there's a great novel called Flatland. I believe it's by Edward Abbott, and it's a tale of interdimensional romance.
Oh.
It's the idea that what if you could communicate with two-dimensional beings on paper? So imagine imagine Pac-Man going through on the screen on Atari, and he's nibbling around, and you could talk to Pac-Man.
Okay.
And you'd say, like, look out, there's a ghost over there. And he'd say, how did you know that? Because from Pac-Man's perspective, he can't see that because he's two-dimensional.
Right.
But we're three-dimensional, so we can.
Yeah.
So I think our caller is saying, what Garen is saying is, like, well, maybe God is just kind of doing
that to us.
God to us is like us to Pac-Man.
Yeah.
Is that what your friend is kind of the argument he's making?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's different ways I might go about that. One, I would say that the arguments or proofs for God, that the miracles that take place, what we see, violate the laws of nature. And even a being that existed in all of time they would have to have other attributes to be able to perform miracles or other things like that. They'd have to have control over space and time, not just merely exist. So the ultimate thing they'd be able to do is to bring something from nothing, and that would be a property of omnipotence that belongs to God alone. So they couldn't just merely exist in other dimensions. They'd have to have these creative abilities and to do certain miracles, like bringing people back from the dead and things like that. It would seem that they would have to have control over reality only God can have, such as being able to make something from nothing. So that might be one way I go about it. The other thing I might say is that even beyond miracles, if we look at the existence of reality itself, all of space, all of time, all of matter, all of energy. So if you have a being that exists across all time, so is fourth dimensional, but still exists in time or at every moment of time and is conscious of it, you still have the question of, well, where did time and space come from? How did this being bring this into existence? I would say that that kind of entity is too limited to function as the God that explains the existence of all things. And I talk about this a little bit in Why We're Catholic, but more in depth than answering atheism. So I would say that it's interesting. You can say to your atheist friend, like, well, it seems you acknowledge that things like miracles or the universe coming to be from nothing require an explanation beyond the natural order we see. So appealing to higher dimensions, for example.
Right.
But I think even if you go to higher dimensions, there's other dimensions beyond that to explain those dimensional beings. Because beyond the fourth dimension, there's the fifth dimensional beings. In fiction, we have all kinds of stuff like that, like Q in Star Trek or Mr. Mitzplickleplick. DC fans will know who I'm talking about in DC comics. There's a fifth dimensional being who always harasses Superman that has magical powers. I think he's from the fifth dimension. But anywho, these beings may be powerful, but they're not all powerful. So only God could explain the existence of all of reality, including the dimensions that are contained in reality itself. So that might be what I might say to your friend to tease out the argument a bit. Is that helpful?
Yes, very much. Thank you.
Great.
All right. Thank you very much for that call. Mr. McGiblets?
Okay. Here's the thing. The only way you can get rid of him, he's not God, because you can get rid of him by making him say his name backwards. So he's not omnipotent. He has a weakness.
Oh, yeah.
But somebody will help me. I can't even say it forward, so I'm glad he's not real. You know?
Well, I've said dog plenty of times.
Backwards.
And God is still here.
Oh, well. So he's not from the fifth dimension.
Yeah,
but you got it. Sorry, the trick is you got to get him to say it backwards.
Oh.
That's how it works.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
That seems like maybe they got a little tired of, they didn't have any good plots.
That can be hard. It's hard with in Superman cartoons and comics because he's pretty invulnerable. So.
Oh, yeah. Remember the little guy in the Flintstones? The little guy that would be on Fred's shoulder at the...
Oh, the great Gazoo.
Yeah, the Great Gazoo.
Yeah, that's when the show jumped the shark.
That's what I'm saying, is it seems like Superman maybe jumped the shark a little bit.
Topic for another time.
Okay. In other words, move on. Doris in Doylestown, Pennsylvania, listening on Holy Spirit Radio. You are on with Trent Horn. What's your question?
Oh, hi, Trent. My question is, do Jews and Catholics worship the same God?
Okay, that's a great question. And the answer is yes. The God, the one eternal God who created the universe and revealed himself to mankind. Jews worship that God, at least when they profess to worship. I mean, there are different Jews who have different ideas of God, obviously. But Jews who profess to worship the same God that Abraham worshiped and Moses worshiped and David worshiped, they certainly worship that God. In fact, in the Catechism in paragraph 839, the Catechism says the Jewish faith, unlike other non-Christian religions, is already a response to God's revelation in the Old Covenant. So God did reveal himself to the Jewish people, whereas, for example, the Catechism later goes on to say of Muslims, they profess the faith of Abraham, but we wouldn't say that God actually revealed himself to the prophet Muhammad or the self-proclaimed prophet Muhammad, those who consider him to be a prophet. We wouldn't say that, but we can say with certainty God revealed himself to the Jewish people in the Old Covenant. So Jews today who worship that God who revealed himself in the Old Testament, that God is the God we worship. Now, Jews have a mistaken understanding of God because they deny the Trinity, but they still worship God and understanding there is one infinite and eternal God. And our goal is to help them have a complete picture of God and seeing that God is a trinity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So is that a helpful answer to your question?
Yes, it is. But how would I explain that to my Jewish friend who believes that we Catholics have three gods, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and worship a man?
Yeah. I think what I would point your Jewish friends to is to look in the Old Testament for the promise of the Messiah, how the prophet Isaiah said he would be called many names, including Eternal God, Mighty Father, who we called Emmanuel, God is with us. And that in Isaiah 53, it talked about how he would suffer for the sins of his people and show how these prophecies in Isaiah and Jeremiah were ultimately fulfilled in Jesus Christ as the Messiah. But Jesus' claim as the Messiah only makes sense if he was who he said he was, that if he rose from the dead and he claimed to be God and vindicated those claims with his resurrection, then that shows that there is one God, but God is not just one person who's existed for all eternity. There is one God, but God is so big, majestic, infinite, and wonderful. God is more than one person. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, an eternal relationship of love among three co-eternal persons. And so that love has existed for all eternity and has finally revealed itself in the person of Jesus. So a good book I'd recommend for your Jewish friends also, if you want to look in the topic more, would be Roy Schoeman's book, Salvation is from the Jews. And that's a wonderful book on how to explain the Catholic faith and show its harmony with Judaism and present Jesus to Jewish friends and family. So Salvation is from the Jews by Roy Schoeman.
Thanks very much, Doris. Appreciate that call. It's Mr. Mixelplix. That's what Jeff online says.
Mr. Mitzelplix?
Mixelplix.
See, we already messed it up. So,
well, so I he's the fifth dimensional guy.
He can. So, see, thank you, Jeff. I appreciate
yes,
that.
Yes, Jeff online. Nice job. We go now to Gretchen in Denton, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Gretchen, your question for Trent Horn.
Hi. I have a friend who just reached out to me yesterday, actually. And she basically has never had any real kind of religious education at all, and she's wanting to establish a relationship with God, to learn more, to I guess just grow that relationship and figure it all out. She told me that she's been going to a Pentecostal church recently, and I think it's probably just somebody invited her. She went, and she feels really good when during their sermons or whatever. And they were actually going to, they wanted to baptize her this coming weekend, and she asked me what I thought about it. And, of course, I said, well, I think you should rethink that and know what it is that you're doing before you do that. And that, of course, my opinion is that she needs to be going to the Catholic Church, not the Pentecostal Church, but she needs to research it more. So anyway, I thought that your book sounded like a really good thing to give her for in general. Do you also cover in your book specifically baptism? And if not, can you tell me any other resources to give her specifically on why baptism means what it does to us?
Yeah. Good question. My book does cover baptism in chapter 15. The chapter is called Why We Baptize Babies. And I talk in the beginning, though, about why we baptize anyone, adult or babies. And that's because baptism takes away original sin and it makes us members of the new covenant. It makes us adopted children in God's family so that we're able to partake of the other sacraments like the Eucharist. So I talk about that. And now why? If we baptize adults, because baptism regenerates us, if it gives us spiritual life and makes us members of God's family, why would we deny that to babies? That baptism is not merely a symbol saying we believe in Jesus, it's what washes away sin. And so I share with people different Bible verses that describe that truth, like in Acts 2:38, where Peter tells the crowd in Jerusalem to repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, or in Acts 22, where Ananias tells Paul to rise up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And 1 Peter 3:21, where Peter says baptism is what that baptism now saves you. It's interesting, though, your friend is wanting to be baptized or has been approached by a Pentecostal church. Do you know if it's a oneness Pentecostal church? Have you ever heard of that before? Hello?
Oh, did we lose you?
Oh, no. Well, hopefully we'll have Gretchen back.
Wait,
we have Gretchen?
Gretchen, are you there?
Gretchen?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Great, Gretchen, I'm glad you're here. Do you know if you're...
Okay.
Oh, stay with us. I'd like to continue this conversation because Pentecostals throw a little monkey wrench in when it comes to baptism that we must talk about.
Oh, we got to hear about the monkey wrench. Hang on till after the break and we will hear about that Pentecostal monkey wrench. Why we're Catholic is our topic today, because why we're Catholic, our reasons for faith, hope, and love, is Trent Horn's latest book. Trent Horn, apologist here at Catholic Answers, speaker and author, is our guest this hour. 888-318-7884 is the number. We'll be right back with more on Catholic Answers Live.
Your questions, Catholic Answers, live.
Hi, this is Trent Horn, and I'm here to tell you about my new book, Hard Sayings, A Catholic Approach to Answering Bible Difficulties. Have you ever read something in the Bible that confused you? Or has a skeptic ever asked you to explain a scandalous passage and you didn't know what to say? Doesn't Genesis contradict science? Why does the Bible promote slavery? How could God order his people to kill women and children? It's happened to just about everyone. But now you have a place to turn for the answers. In Hard Sayings, I look at dozens of the most confounding passages in Scripture and offer clear, reasonable, and Catholic keys to unlocking their true meaning. After reading this book, you'll be equipped to answer the toughest questions skeptics ask about the Bible. So don't be left without an answer again. Order your copy of Hard Sayings today by calling 1-888-291-8000, by visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or by asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Wouldn't it be great to have a book to give to anyone to explain exactly why Catholics believe what we believe? The good news is now there is. Why We're Catholic is the groundbreaking new resource by apologist Trent Horn, that one book you can hand to anyone as a starting point for helping them find their way into or back to the practice of the Catholic faith. In a series of short, easy-to-read chapters, Trent covers the whole range of common topics, starting with why we believe in anything at all and answering all the common objections to the Catholic faith, both doctrinal and moral. Don't miss out on the most important, life-changing book to come along in years. Better yet, it's only $3 a copy when you order in bulk. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Peggy Normandin.
I was really pretty vain in my mid-20s. I was consumed with all those, you know, superficial trappings in life. Well, during this time, I had a dream where my grandmother appeared to me. She was a very loving, plain, modest woman of great faith. Well, in the dream, she was absolutely radiant. And she said, "This is what I look like now. Everything is perfect in heaven, Peggy. This is all that matters." What a powerful spiritual wake-up call that was.
Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin. Saturdays at 1 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Trent Horn, our guest in studio today. And I feel like I'd like to hear, you know what I'd like to hear from you, Trent? I'd like you to hear a talk called Protestant Proofs for Catholic Truths.
You'd like me to be able to hear that talk?
No, I would like you to give that talk.
You'd like me to give that talk? I can't give it right now.
But could you like prepare it so that maybe in September you could give it?
I would be willing to do that, yes.
All right, I'm going to invite you to give the talk, Protestant Proofs for Catholic Truths, at the conference in September.
Do that.
And the reason I can invite you, I'm empowered to do that, is you're already on the list as giving that.
It is on the flyer and on the website, so I can't back out now. But no, I'm excited at this year's conference in San Diego, and our listeners can visit CatholicAnswersConference.com to sign up. Take advantage of the early bird offers. They're still there. We can still get a few early
birds. Yeah, you can get the early bird thing
Get it. There's limited time to get that
early
bird
offer. 2 weeks left. 2 weeks. 2 weeks. So, get in there.
Well, a lot of people giving great talks. My talk will be on – the conference theme is the reunion of all Christians and how can we bring the body of Christ together. My way of trying to move that forward is to take Protestant authors, theologians, and arguments that actually support tenets of the Catholic faith, that showing that what we believe as Catholics – Some aspects of it are also recognized by many Protestants. Even on controversial issues like justification or purgatory or Mary, many Protestants have come around, including well-known scholars and theologians, on those issues towards positions close to what we believe. And I think that can help heal the rift a bit from the Reformation. So very excited to give that talk and hope a lot of people will come to hear it.
Well, I hope you leave people fired up for two reasons. One, I think it's good to leave people fired up. Two, the live radio show is exactly right after you finish talking.
I'll try not to tank everyone. So
yeah, don't put everybody to sleep.
Yeah.
If you want information, and you should want information on the Catholic Answers Conference, it's a lot of fun. I've been there several times and never as a member of the Catholic Answers family, but it's just extraordinary. And everybody's just wandering the halls, hanging out, having impromptu conversations. And 3 days of talks, Mark Brumley, Devin Rose, Steve Weidenkopf will all be there along with all of our apologists. Go to CatholicAnswersConference.com and sign up September 28th, 29th, and 30th right here in San Diego. CatholicAnswersConference.com. And when we went to the break there, you were talking with Gretchen, who I had I think put on hold accidentally, but and she was asking about baptism, and you said, well, you left us with a cliffhanger, really, about there's a hitch in Pentecostal baptism.
Gretchen knew someone who is considering being baptized into a Pentecostal church, and Pentecostals have different views on baptism, and I wanted to clarify that for our listeners and give her some pointers. Gretchen, are you still there?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay. Do you happen to know or have you ever heard of Oneness Pentecostals?
I've heard of them. I don't know a lot about them, and I'm not sure if that's the kind of church she's going to.
Sure. It might be wise to look into that. But Pentecostals have different beliefs about baptism. One belief that Pentecostals share with us, Cy, about baptism, where many Protestants do not, is that baptism regenerates.
Yeah.
So they believe that baptism is necessary for salvation. They would believe that it's regenerative. But then there are other views. They may say, for example, that, well, you're baptized with water, but then later on in your life, you're baptized with the Holy Spirit. And we don't believe that the gift of the Holy Spirit in baptism is unique and accomplished, just like in Acts 2:38. Peter says, repent and be baptized, all of you, for the forgiveness of sins, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, that does not mean the Holy Spirit won't be outpoured into a believer's life later in baptism, because you're sealed with the Holy Spirit in the sacrament of confirmation, which a person receives after baptism. It might be immediately after or several years after. So that doesn't mean that you only receive the Holy Spirit once in your life, but you do receive it in baptism. The other thing that's difficult, Gretchen, is that Oneness Pentecostals, their baptism is actually not valid because they baptize only in the name of Jesus, and they deny the Trinity. In order for, because Catholics recognize valid baptisms among other Christians. So, for example, if you were baptized Lutheran and you wanted to become Catholic, you wouldn't have to be rebaptized. Your baptism is valid. You would just receive the sacrament of confirmation and be brought into full communion with the Catholic Church. But myself, for example, I was never baptized, so I was baptized to be brought into the church. I know someone who had an invalid baptism, and they were baptized. They weren't rebaptized because it was invalid.
Right.
So in order for a baptism to be valid, you have to use the formula Jesus gave us in Matthew 28:19. I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And you have to recognize that who you're baptizing, they're being baptized in the name of one God who exists as a trinity of three distinct persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Oneness Pentecostals believe that Jesus and the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all the same person. It's just God's the Father, then he becomes the Son, and then he becomes the Spirit again for us. But then that doesn't really make sense in John 17, where Jesus is talking to the Father in prayer. So I talk about that a little bit in my book, Why We're Catholic, in the chapter on Why I Believe in the Trinity. So I definitely recommend if you gave the person you're speaking about, you're talking to us about, a copy of Why We're Catholic. I think it may really help them understand the Catholic faith and have a desire to be brought into union in God's family through that baptism. But yeah, definitely get a copy of that. And if you have any other questions, feel free to call back.
Definitely great. Thank you very much.
Thanks, sure. Gretchen. Thank you for that call. 888-318-7884 is the number. And this part five of your book, Why We're Catholic, Trent, is morality and destiny. And online, we, you know, people watch us on Facebook Live, YouTube Live, and Periscope, and sometimes type in questions. And this is kind of an ethical, moral question. I don't think you dealt with anything quite like it in the section five, but I'll share it with you. Michael on Facebook wants to know if it's acceptable for a Catholic, or does the Catholic Church accept antidepressant medicines? Is that okay to take an antidepressant?
Well, I would say that in principle, if you are taking a medicine to restore the healthy and normal functioning of your mind and body, then yes, there would be nothing wrong with taking that. If a doctor has made a correct diagnosis that you have a mental condition, something like clinical depression, that requires a rebalancing or adjusting of hormones or different chemicals in the brain that this treatment will affect, there's nothing wrong with that. The only thing that might be wrong is if you were abusing these drugs, such as if you were using them purely to put yourself in an altered state and you're actually healthy, if you're using them as a form of drug abuse, that would be wrong. But if a doctor has correctly diagnosed someone and prescribes this for their health, there'd be nothing wrong with taking an antidepressant.
Okay. Thank you, Michael, very much for that question. Thank you for everybody who joins us via Facebook Live, YouTube Live, or Periscope. We go now to Garen in Anchorage, Alaska, listening on KHRM Catholic Radio. Garen, your question for Trent Horn.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. My question is about worship. I'm a Reaper Catholic, and I love the Mass. Everything about it. I'm in the very real presence of my Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't need, you know, anything else to make me worship. I worship through the whole service. But when I go to a Protestant service, all I hear is loud music and repeated verses. So what constitutes worship? What is the difference between Christian worship or Catholic worship and Protestant worship?
Sure. What I would say is that the word worship has different meanings to different people, and certainly Protestants understand the word worship to have a different meaning than Catholics would. But some Protestants will understand that the word is very malleable. There's a famous Protestant theologian named D.A. Carson who actually wrote a whole book on prayer and worship and the definition of Christian worship. And he admits that the word worship has a very elastic meaning to it. At its the most basic level, worship means to give someone their worth-ship. So to worship someone would be to acknowledge and reverence them according to their worth or what they deserve. Nowadays, we believe that worship, in common parlance today, we associate worship with God, that worship is just the reverence and honor a person gives God. But that's not the way the word was always used. In the Old English prayer book, on the wedding day, a groom is instructed to say to his bride, I was about to say his broad. That marriage is not going to go over well if that's his attitude for a long time.
I would talk to your wife, Trent, if you're right. Talking that way.
No. With his beloved bride,
yeah.
He says, "With my body I thee worship." So he says to his bride on his wedding day, "With my body I thee worship." And what that means is to his bride, his wife, I give her the worth that she deserves, and what she deserves of her husband is his very body, his whole gift of self to her. But he doesn't bow down to her and say that she's God. And then also we might say in Old English terminology to someone in high authority, like how we say your honor to a judge today, we might say your worship,
to a
civil magistrate.
Right.
So Garen, what I would say then is that Catholics understand worship is to give worth-ship, and we actually have three terms that help distinguish the different kinds of worth we give to heavenly beings. So for example, dulia is a Latin term, comes from a Greek word, that refers to the honor and respect we give to the saints who are in heaven because they're righteous, they're without sin, and they pray for us. Hyperdulia is the highest level of respect and honor or worship that we give to a creature, and that would be to the Mother of God, to Mary. But the highest form of worship as Catholics, the worship that's due to God alone, is called latria. That's the highest form of adoration we give to say, you are God, and you deserve the highest worth and respect because you're of infinite worth. And so what that would mean practically for Catholics, for example, is that we would offer sacrifice, the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. That sacrifice of the Mass is offered only to God. In the early church, there was a heresy called the Collyridians, and the Collyridians would actually offer sacrifices to Mary. And the church said, that's a heresy. That they said, you have to stamp that out. Mary is a creature, and sacrifice is only offered to God. So I would say that Protestants, if they understand, you know, the highest form of worship we give, we agree that is to God alone. But that doesn't mean we don't give respect and veneration and honor to creatures, including the saints in heaven who pray for us, or even other human beings on earth. Paul says in Romans 13 to honor civil magistrates and submit to their authority, for example. But the highest form of worship is for God alone. So, Garen, is that a helpful explanation?
So you're saying that there's levels of worship?
That's right. Yes, that's right. Because you might, if worship is giving someone what they are worth, giving them the respect and honor that they are due, then there are people who are due some respect and honor, you know, whether they're people on earth or people in heaven who pray for us, that we should honor and respect them. I mean, if you met the Virgin Mary, you would certainly show her respect. She's the Mother of God. But the highest form of honor, all honor, all respect, all glory, that the highest form of that, what we would give, would be to God alone. And the church has always taught that. And so with our Protestant brothers and sisters, we agree that the highest form of worship is for God alone, but that doesn't preclude honor and reverence given to other creatures because they are made in the image of God and they serve him and worship him as well.
Garen?
Okay, so it doesn't matter if we worship in a mass or in a Protestant worship service then?
Well, it matters in different circumstances. If you just want to pray to God, the highest form of worship that you can give to God would be attending Mass, to go to Mass and receive the Eucharist and be a part of offering the sacrifice of the Eucharist to the Father. But there's other ways that we can worship God. You can worship God at home. We get down on our knees for, say, night prayer, say, an Our Father. We can worship at home. We can even worship with our other Protestant brothers and sisters to get together and pray together. So there's nothing intrinsically wrong with that. And the only thing we must watch out for is if we are worshiping with our Protestant brothers and sisters, that we don't endorse the idea there's no significant differences between us, or that it doesn't matter if on Sunday you choose to go to a Protestant church or you choose to go to a Catholic church. It certainly does matter. We have an obligation to worship God in the Mass on Sundays and days of holy obligation, but that doesn't mean we can't worship him in other contexts and with other people, provided it's an appropriate venue and it doesn't cause scandal. So hopefully that's helpful, and thank you so much for calling in.
And we'll take a quick break, Garen. Thanks for that call. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more Trent Horn on Catholic Answers Live.
We'll be right back with more great answers from Trent today on Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, this is Catholic Answers Live host Cy Kellett, and I'm really excited to tell you about a special limited-time offer we've got right now on subscriptions to our award-winning Catholic Answers magazine. Sign up today during our annual subscription drive, and not only can you save big bucks off the normal price, you can get a collection of 5 exclusive audio presentations added to your order for free. Subscribe today at 818-487-2011 or online at catholic.com. Sign up for a 1-year subscription and we'll give you $10 off the normal price. Better yet, become a 2-year subscriber and we'll up the ante by dropping the price $20 and sending you a customized Catholic Answers flash drive containing exclusive talks from a top-notch lineup of speakers, including Tim Staples, Carlo Broussard, Trent Horn, and Chris Check, and my talk on renewing the culture. That's a savings of $20 plus 5 brand new audio presentations when you sign up for a 2-year subscription to Catholic Answers magazine. Act now. This is is our best offer of the year, and it's only available for a limited time. Subscribe to Catholic Answers Magazine before our annual subscription drive ends. Phone 818-487-2011 or go to Catholic.com today.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Matthew 6, Jesus warned not to perform religious deeds in order that people may see them. When you give alms, he said, do not blow a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets to win the praise of others. They've already received their reward. Telling his disciples this, of course, he is telling us as well. We are to give to the poor in secret, but his point here is not about doing things secretly. There are other passages where he encourages us to let our good works be seen as an example to others. His concern is that we be centered on God and not on ourselves. To do good and even holy things for selfish reasons betrays our lack of love for Him. The clock is ticking. Our days here are limited. Only so much more time for accepting the inconvenience of truly loving those He puts in our path. Let's use that time as He would. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Coming into the home stretch here on Catholic Answers Live with Trent Horn in studio discussing why we're Catholic. That's both the topic of our show today and the title of his latest book, Why We're Catholic, Our Reasons for Faith, Hope, and Love. Are you going to – you said you're going to be at the conference. Will your family be with you when you're at the conference? Or are you going to – is that too much?
I would love to have them with me, but
you have a new baby.
I do have a new baby, and I have a toddler who literally loves him to death sometimes. I say that's hugs are good, but baby needs to breathe a little. So
a little,
just a little. So hopefully they'll be able to join me. Otherwise, the whole Catholic Answers family will be there in their stead, and I'm really excited to meet everyone.
And then you're going on a pilgrimage, and I wonder about your family there. That's too much, probably.
Yeah, I would love to take them. But they
might not love you if you took.
Well, this will be my second time going to the Holy Land. I went there before with my wife on a Franciscan pilgrimage, and it's a lot of actual walking. We probably actually couldn't have children under the age of 12. We're seeing so many sights, and it's awesome. I mean, you walk a lot, but you see so much. This will be at the end of March and beginning of April, around Easter of 2018. And if our listeners want to learn more, that's at holyland2018.com. So, we're going to see Nazareth, Galilee, the Sea of Galilee, Bethlehem, and especially we're going to spend extra time in Jerusalem so that we can really participate in the events happening there during the Triduum. So, celebrate Mass in the Upper Room on Holy Thursday, Stations of the Cross on Good Friday, seeing Jesus' tomb on Easter.
Wow.
And there's going to be so many pilgrims. It's going to be chaotic, but just a wonderful experience with pilgrims from around the world are all going to congregate there to celebrate this Easter. My family won't be joining me, but I'm really excited. We've already had a lot of people sign up. And so if you want to get a spot, I'd make sure to sign up soon. That'll be at holyland2018.com. And it's also, we were able to secure a great deal for traveling during the holiday seasons. So it's very affordable.
You have a favorite place in the Holy Land yourself? Anything that where you're like, I just love that? Or
you know, nothing really compared with going at night, walking into the old city of Jerusalem after the tour, back at our hotel, and then I would get up and walk through the streets to the old city of Jerusalem, amidst all the shopping carts, walking in to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre and, you know, praying there at Jesus' tomb, or going to the site of Golgotha to pray at the site of the crucifixion, you know, late at night. It changes your life. It changes your life when you do that. And that's why I'm really excited to do this pilgrimage, because I believe people who sign up for it, especially if you've never been to the Holy Land, it'll change your life. And so I'd love to walk people through and through that, give talks, help people dive deeper into Scripture. So that's what I'm excited about. So holyland2018.com, and you know, check it out if you're interested.
Very good. Let's go now to Josh in Evansville, Indiana, watching on YouTube. Josh, thanks for joining us on YouTube. Your question for Trent Horn.
Hi, thanks. What I'm wondering is, how do you explain to someone why being Catholic is important, or why it's important to be Catholic in the first place? Like, I'm Catholic myself.
Yeah.
I know it's true, but getting the importance of following the truth across to someone because they just seem like they just don't care.
Yeah. Well, I guess it would depend who they are. Are you saying just to anyone, or do you have a particular person in mind?
Well, mainly other Christians. I've talked with them a little bit. Like they've asked me, well, why do Catholics believe this? And I kind of start to explain, and then their eyes kind of gloss over.
Yeah.
And they don't seem to really care.
If we all believe in, they say if we all believe in Jesus, isn't that enough? Basically.
Right, yeah. And then I'm just like, and I've tried to explain, well, no, you have this, and we have this, and he said to do this, but they're just like, well, I don't care.
I guess what I would say to them is that if they're Christians, I would say to them, should we care about what Jesus said? Should we care about what Jesus wants for us and what his plan is for the body of Christ? Should we care about that? How do we know what God wants from us? And if they say, well, all you have to do is believe in Jesus, I'd say, well, where does the Bible say that? That's all you have to do. It is something you have to do. We're saved by faith. But where does the Bible say we only do that? And then just try to share with them to say, well, why we're Catholic. We can offer a testimony. And a thing I like to share is just the power of grace, to talk about how God's grace, God's divine life is transformative. It makes me a child of God, and it transforms and renews me and anyone else who receives it to make us holy just as our Father in heaven is holy. And that to continue on that pursuit of holiness, it's not something we can do. It's something we accept. Even if we accept it, God's working through us to do that. The only thing we can do in our own power is to reject that grace and to say, no, I choose to not do that, but to let God pour his grace into my heart to transform me. And he's given us a way to do that. That's not just saying a prayer and hoping for the best. It's about saying God understands that I am matter and that matters. God gives us the water of baptism, the bread and wine of the Eucharist, the voice and presence of the priest in confession. He gives us physical objects so we can have an assurity of grace being transmitted to us to renew and change us and make us holy. So I might talk to them a bit about that, say, well, what did Jesus say? Did Jesus give us a church or did he just give us a Bible? Well, what's the pillar and foundation of truth? Ask them that. What's the pillar and foundation of truth? And it's not the Bible. 1 Timothy 3:15 says it's the church. And did God give us a church where we decide how it goes, or did he build it on apostles and they anointed successors and left them to us so that we wouldn't have to figure everything out from the Bible and hope we get it right, but that God has given us a church to teach us and lead us into truth and to lead us into that grace-filled life, into salvation. So that's what I might say, why it matters so much, that why would we want to say no to the grace God has given us? And if you want a bit more on that, like the Eucharist or baptism, my book, Why We're Catholic, covers that. So definitely check it out.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you very much for that call, Josh. And again, thanks for joining us on YouTube. We appreciate all of our viewers on YouTube, Facebook Live, and Periscope. Not much time left, but let's see if we can get in Paul in Anchorage, Alaska, listening on 94.1 FM. Paul, your question for Trent Horn.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm calling because I seem to go to the confessional for a lot of the same issues, and I get really frustrated, especially with the response I get back from my parish priest, which is that I need to work on loving myself more.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's such a nebulous response. I feel like I do a good job of forgiving myself and letting go of things, but I acknowledge that I hold on to some things as well.
We're short on time, Paul. You just got to say it as
a
question.
I'm hoping for a better understanding on the Catholic understanding of love.
Okay.
Yeah, what is love? 1 John 4:8 says that God is love, but the best definition I can give would be this. Love is to will the good of another. So when you love someone, you put their needs ahead of your wants. You make sure to ensure that the goods that they need, you provide for them. So when we love our children, love our spouses, love our neighbors, we make sure that they have food, shelter, dignity, support. And so to love ourselves means to understand God made us and God wanted us to exist. We're not an accident. And to be grateful to him that we do exist and to ask for his help so that we can give ourselves both the physical necessities we need to function in life and the spiritual, social, and emotional necessities. And to not say we're not worth it, because God says we are worth it. and to always trust in His grace and His mercy. So I think that might be something for you to look into.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks for phrasing that question quickly because we were short on time. Really appreciate it. Thanks to all of our callers today. Thanks to Trent Horn, author of Why We're Catholic, Our Reasons for Faith, Hope, and Love, the number one Amazon bestseller. Trent, thanks a lot for being with us here in the studio today.
And Cy, thank you for hosting.
It was a lot of fun to have you here.
I liked it. We should do it again sometime.
I think we should. And tomorrow, open forum, 2 hours. Jimmy Akin, Father John Trigilio. Be with us then on Catholic Answers Live.